Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Julia Dinos, artist, author, color tamer. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 256 of the podcast with Julia Dinos, author, illustrator of Swatch, The Girl Who Loved Color. Beginning today, you can go to allthewonders.com to experience all the wonders of Swatch. The team has put together a beautiful feature that includes a thoughtful look from Mel Schuett at the impact of the story and art, an inspired color tamer game from Katie Hose and Mike Ciccatello, a look at the making of Swatch from creator Julia Dinos, and more. It's a book we've all fallen pretty hard for, and one that I think will hold you from the moment you read the first page. Julia is, herself, an amazing and amazingly talented woman, and I had a really great time talking to her. I hope you'll enjoy the listen, and then visit allthewonders.com to experience the story beyond the book. Balzer & Bray is also giving away 3 copies of Swatch this week, so don't miss out on your chance for us to give you a copy. Here's episode number 256 of the podcast with Julia Dinos. Welcome to the podcast, Julia Dinos. I have waited to talk to you.
Matthew Winner, woohoo!
I want to say, Julia, on record, just so people can hear, I want to start this recording a little differently. I'm going to just say I got to know you because I was sent a copy of Swatch, of the first book you both authored and illustrated. And Julia, I fell in love. Fell in love hard for your book to the extent that I took that FNG everywhere, and I now have a hardcover copy that I just treasure, and my children have read the book with me over and over. And I need to tell you up front that I love your book, and I know that everyone that sees it and holds it is going to love it so much too. So thank you for pouring your love into it.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, Matthew. I'm so glad you're enjoying it. And I'm so psyched you're enjoying it with your kids. That's the best.
It is the best. I'm going to talk a lot about your story, but I want to give you a chance first to share with the people listening what Swatch is, what Swatch the Girl Who Loved Color is all about.
I think Swatch is a story about making a story, which is kind of weird. When I finished making the book, I realized that's really what it was about. It was about listening carefully to things like colors and words and stories. And that kind of idea helped me make the story of Swatch itself. So it's kind of a weird meta situation, I guess you could say. So Swatch is just about being yourself and being free and letting the things that inspire you be themselves and be free and being yourself with the things that inspire you, letting a masterpiece create itself really through like a process of co-creation, I guess you could say. So long story short, it's about making stuff.
You've got the most tangible energy in your art, I think, that I have ever seen in a picture book. There's your art. I mean, it's so excited and full of life and so waiting to be tamed. And I know that that goes so well hand in hand with your girl, with Swatch, but it's just gorgeous. So much of this talk, I think, is going to have to be about your gorgeous art and how I drool all over it. But would you mind if I read the beginning few pages of your story? I love sure. The energy that you have in your words as well.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. All right. So as it starts, in a place where colors ran wild, there lived a girl who was wilder still. Her name was Swatch, and she was a color tamer. She was small, but she was not afraid. She could run with the wildest shades, train them to dance and do magic. Holy cow. Goosebumps again. This is what I'm talking about. Your book is so good. So we meet this girl, Swatch, and she not only is in love with colors, which to me feels maybe autobiographical to the person behind this book.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But I also love the names of the color, the names that you've given to colors, but really the names that I feel like Swatch has given to these colors. This is her world, and these are the colors that she's pursuing. So to have bravest green and in between gray and yellowest yellow just also feel like tangible names. There's so much about this book that I feel like you can hold and you can grasp, and it's really beautiful that way, Jules. I guess to get to it, then Swatch, then she tries to hold them and keep them and keep the colors in jars and try to have them for herself until there's so just, well. No, and doesn't work so well because there's just one that doesn't want to be held. But again, how showing of your own character that, not to give away the second half of the story, but just to get to the place where she sees yellowest yellow, the last color she needs to capture, and she sees it in this dandelion growing out from the cracks in the sidewalk. And she wanted to take this color, and it says this great line saying, like, I want to take you in, and would you like to climb into the jar? You could sit it on a shelf right next to blue. You could make green together all day long if you wanted. I'll poke holes in the top. I'll feed you dinner. But yellow, knowing that that was no way to live, said, no, thank you. And Swatch, who could have scooped it up anyway, said, okay. Julia, there is another revealing line, I feel like, for you, that you are a person who is willing to try to tame the colors, but know when to let the colors run free.
I think that was, it's really strange to say, but like, that was the turning point in the writing of the story of Swatch. I really got to a point when I was working on the story, I was probably like 3 years in at that point with so many drafts. And it really wasn't until I stepped back and like put all of that away, like physically put them away in drawers, all the different drafts and all my sketches, is when I just kind of stepped back and I heard the story come at me instead. And that was a huge turning point for me as a person, as a creator. And I feel like that is what Swatch had to experience to like remember who she was as a color tamer as well. So that was kind of that little bit of conversation between that wild element was, I just felt like I needed to make a book about, like, to honor that, to honor that relationship.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool that you walked away from your manuscripts like that, your drafts like that. And it you let the story, but you let the story find you again, that it was still there.
Yep. Yeah.
When and how did the story at all come to you, the feeling of playing with color and trying to tame color and all of that, if the wild aspect of it came later, how did it start?
I think it was just, so I could just like back up to the very beginning. I was working on a character idea. I was talking with my editor at the time and my editor now, Alessandra Balzer, at Balzer and Bray, she and I were out to lunch and she was like, I know you're writing, because I had just made Audrey, Just Being Audrey, authored by Margaret Cardillo. And she was like, I know you're not just illustrating, that you're writing too. And like, do you have a story that needs to come out? Do you have a character that needs to come out? And I was like, oh man, this is the chance of a lifetime. Like, when you can ask that? And, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, how am I gonna, you know, sum this up? I had the first inclinations I had were just like feelings of energy. It was like wildness. And I knew that I wanted to write about a little girl, in that, because I'm a little girl myself, I was one. And also I love color. So these elements are just kind of swirling around together. When I heard the name Swatch, I was actually like, it was the next day and I was in New York City with my husband, Matt. And we were in Books of Wonder and we were eating a cupcake. We were like splitting a cupcake. And I remember being like, all right, so I have this person like in my mind. She's loves color. She's like a little wild little girl. And Matt had thought of the name. And so he named her Swatch. He was like, her name's Swatch. And I was like, oh, of course she is. And then immediately, like when we left the store, we were like walking on the sidewalk. I remember right away, I heard the term color tamer, like jump into my head, like Swatch, I'm a color tamer. And I was like, whoa, what is a color tamer? And so I really spent like 3 years trying to figure that out. And so a lot of the exploratory drafts were, changing points of view. And it was really kind of like interrogating Swatch and like trying to chase her down. And what really happened was the color was the voice that came to me first story-wise, because I literally heard the line, hold on, from The Color Yellow in my head. And so it, in a way, it was really strange that I'd been like chasing the story down, trying to like get at Swatch and like figure her out. And really what happened was the color and the story chased me down and explained what her story was about. So it's kind of topsy-turvy and all around.
But I love the way that words have gripped you in these years to say that phrase, color tamer, came into your head and that you were wrestling with that and just asking like, what does that mean? What is that? But to have that turn of phrase put into your head, I think of all of these elements that were put in place, Jules, that you then got to wrestle with to become this story, but really like almost how ironic it is that the story is what it is. And that it sort of does, it's much more autobiographical than I thought I was going to be talking to you.
Yeah, it's kind of like the biography of like a story being made.
It
like
is, very
it's really
much.
Weird.
That Swatch is this almost personification of a story. And also at the same time, like the greatest book costume ever.
My
friend Carter Higgins, we talked about this. When we each first got a copy of this book, she was like, I am going to dress up as Swatch right away.
Oh, my gosh.
Because how fun is that?
I don't know if you know Molly O'Neill, agent Molly O'Neill. She was an editor as well. And she was just saying she wants to dress up as Swatch. And I was like, yes, make it happen. I want to see these Swatch people.
Well, I mean, how?
Face paint, you know, go crazy.
Yes. A bandana and some wild face paint. I mean, come on. That is awesome.
I want to see it.
Well, even better. Like, let's get that word out so that one day, and you, I have to have you pinky promise that you will come tell me one day when it happens, but to have you go into a school and to have a class of kids, or that you Skype with a class, and to see that class of kids looking back at you and they have these multicolored headbands and this marking on their face. I should say to the listeners that if you look in the show notes, there will be a cover image for this book, but it's Swatch is this beautiful girl who has this long, wild black hair and a blue headband and two, almost like they, to me, remind me of like finger paint swatches across, swatches, not using the word, across her cheek. Just like almost war paint-ish style under her eye. It's wonderful. It's so beautiful. And Julia, your colors in this book are the brightest, most vibrant colors I've seen. I mean, I think that you'll get children wanting to recreate what you've done, and they'll be wanting to get brighter and brighter colors. No, mommy, that color's not blue enough. That's not.
No.
And I think that that's, but I think of how exciting that is, that it, you're really looking for that vibrance and what that means. And also what then it means to have a quieter color and the voice and the energy that each color might have.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like In Between Gray, because it was a nice little subtle baby.
I like your In Between Gray and also looking in between the cat's legs. Yeah. The cat was sort of making that bridge, and that she's just right up close. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I'm more of a, to be quite honest, I'm more of the just laid blue, because I love that she has, like, there's the cat there, and the, and that Swatch has that, like, ring around her eye and the, and on her nose, and it just sort of, that's just sort of my color. That just sort of feels like, yeah.
Also has the paint.
That's yeah, important. The kitty has the paint, yeah.
We can all get painty.
We can all get painty.
Yeah, I'm glad you like that one.
Oh, yeah. All of it. I mean, your approach to this, I would love to know what your painting process here looks like, because it looks much like when you look at like Jules Pfeiffer's line, it looks so energetic and improvised. Mm. And yet on the page, it looks very, very controlled, but rather that the images don't look static at all. They look like there's movement in them, and that somehow you just froze the image just long enough to get it onto the page, and then it just sort of kept moving when you weren't looking.
It's hard to make that happen. I really felt like I needed to trust the materials the same way. I mean, Swatch is trusting the color to be wild. So, I knew going into it, the color would have to express a lot because it was a character. And so I experimented with a ton of different types of color mark making. So, like in that blue spread, I don't know if you can see, but there are a lot of bleeds happening within the leaves. Just kind of free. That's like a wet on wet technique I use. And I've been actually demoing with kids when I go in to read the book to them. So I did that at the Carl Museum 2 weeks ago, where I was just showing them how when you just make a wet area, like I'll do the shape of a leaf, and then you take the eyedropper and ink or whatever deep saturation loaded on a paintbrush, could be any paint color you want, and just kind of dip that into the already made little wet area, it'll just spread out and feather and stain and do weird things that it wants to do on its own. And so I felt like I really needed to let color be free as much as I could in this controlled environment.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that you could. That makes me want to go play now.
You should totally do it. Yeah. You should try it with your son and daughter, too. It might be really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just get messy. Just be prepared. It gets messy. But
oh, no doubt. But to play with, I mean, that's one of the most fun things also to explore in the library, is looking at the way the illustrators create what they do and then trying to do it as well. They're trying to get that feeling of like, oh, to approach it this way feels very different.
Yes.
That's neat. Cool. Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, I can definitely feel in illustration after illustration that there is, it feels like there's lots of different approaches, that there are those feelings of the paint bleeding out, and also of speckles, and also of different brushes, and even almost like a dry brush technique. It creates a lot of different texture on there. Are you doing everything with watercolor?
Not totally. So, well, I mean, I was using a lot of, what's called Dr. P.H. Martin's, I think it's called. It's, a super vibrant, very, very deep and rich color that comes in little bottles with, like little eyedroppers, which is really fun to just kind of drop color onto a wet surface and let it spread out that way. So, but that's considered watercolor. So I used that. And then I used a lot of just like in my palette watercolor. But then for the big swatches, I guess you could say, like swaths of color that are moving, like especially toward the end of the book, yeah. I kind of discovered this technique where I wasn't even painting on paper anymore. I was painting on my palette paper, which is made out of wax. So once I realized that like the colors on my palette paper, not on the painting I was working on, looked more alive and energetic, that I was like, oh, I should just totally use the palette paper instead. And so what I ended up doing really even more towards the end was to create these color characters that had such movement and like different chunks and different shadows being thrown, I feel like the palette paper worked a lot better. And so I think that wax resistance kind of like created those little white spots. I don't know if you're, if you can see the very last page, there's a ton of like white showing through and like different. Yeah. So it ended up being the palette paper that really changed kind of the face of the color characters. So I went back in and like worked on the first part of the book and added more of that in because it just allowed so much more movement and like direction of the body of the color. So that's what I ended up doing.
Love it. Goodness. Have you always been a kid playing with paint?
Yes.
Please tell me. Good. Correct answer. Good. If not, we would have edited that part out and made it be a yes. It needs to be that. The way that you're playing, I mean, this feels like, it feels like you're tapping into your younger self and just being, I mean, how often do we have these books like this that remind adults as well as children to just be free on the page, to let loose, to be, I mean, there's so much order in sort of the chaos of your art. There's so much movement, so much wildness going on. And yet there's so much to take in. I mean, I don't know. I remember reading your book and only after going back a second or third time and really studying it, did I realize that you even painted like a village in the background. In some of these small places, because so much my eyes wanted to just stare at, I don't know, different, I don't want to talk about yellow. I want people to be surprised. Okay, people, yeah. There's a big yellow thing in here that I'm not going to talk to you about. We're moving on. Jules, there are additional details that you've thrown in that, well, let's go back to like the blue and noticing the circle of paint around her eye and the spot on the cats and noticing little things like that, noticing that there's eggs there, blue eggs that some of this paint is shooting out from, those little things that there was just so much to look at. There's just so much here that I don't know. It's just, you've really created something truly deeply beautiful, Julia. I know you're proud of your work. I hope you continue to feel proud from all of us that are loving it, because there's a lot to love here.
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks so much. I'm glad it's translating a little bit, because it just felt like a big wild ball of stuff when I handed it in. I was like, I hope it makes sense, you know, when you're making something and you're just working so hard in this little world of it. You're just hoping against hope that like it will make sense. And that's the whole point of making, is to communicate. So it makes me happy that some of it translated.
Oh yeah. And I think that it translated in such a way too, that we can take out of the stories what we need to. I mean, to hear you say that it's a story about a story, a meta story that way, I looked at it and saw, as you would in the circumstance that I'm in, I saw my kids. Yeah. I saw that I have a daughter growing up and that I want her to be wild and free. And I saw my son and I saw him playing and that I wanted him to play whatever he wanted to play and not feel like he had to do one sort of thing. Like mm-hmm. I saw it almost as an expression of how we handle our creativity. That there's this sort of relationship that you have that you need to tame it, to capture it sometimes. But then there's other times that you need to allow it to be something room. Bigger so it can show you, so that you yourself can discover things about it.
Yeah, it's totally, after I finished the book, I realized it was just really like an honor of that little relationship that you have. It's deeply personal. As an artist, it's like something that I've always been playing with, and you know, you're constantly humbled and cut down by ideas coming to you. And then you're also having to kind of step up and like, what can I bring to this idea? So you're kind of, it's a very co-creative feeling. It's been that way since I was a little kid, and it has always felt very private, but I feel like it's like a special place that everyone kind of has with their own special thing that they love to do. And so I just wanted to make a book about it. To give it a safe space, kind of, to just be wild. And I love what you're saying about wildness. Like, I feel like that's something that's coming out so, like, there are just so many books coming out that have the word wild in them, and that, like, that theme of wildness. Like, my sister Anna is, she's a singer-songwriter. She just wrote a song where, like, the chorus is saying, it's about wildness, like, be wild. And it's just happening everywhere, and I feel like it's kind of in response to that control and order that's very present. But there is a balance between those two things. And I feel like that's what I was trying to say in the book, like, they're balancing together, and that's how the kind of accident of balance creates that masterpiece together.
Well, isn't it great that we're seeing too that, I mean, I'm thinking about, I think you said the book's about being wild, and immediately my brain went to Emily Hughes's book,
mm-hmm,
Wild,
yep,
which is, you know, yeah, a work of art as well.
So gorgeous. Yes.
Among many other books that I'm thinking of. But I think that it's also great too that we're just seeing wherever we were going as a, I don't know, as a culture, with the way our children were growing up, or the way we continue to celebrate the way that they are and the things that they get into. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun that now, yeah, we're at a stage where a bunch of us are like, let's be wild.
Yeah. It's we, like, honoring that part, yeah, of them.
Well, that's... we spend a lot of time saying, and I think we maybe this is where I'm seeing that relationship, and not to be too didactic or anything, but mm-hmm, we have recently spent a lot of time affirming, and this is me coming from education, affirming, you are smart, you are capable, there are jobs out there, and you're going to be one of the ones to take them. Mm-hmm. We are pushing our girls to see themselves in STEM jobs, yeah, and to do things like that, and to we're seeing the way we are approaching young boys and girls doing things like Hour of Code, that they're coding computers, they're doing things like that, and that's really cool. But to just step back for a second and be like, okay, but let's be crazy. I really like that. Let's be unhinged. Let's not plan things. Let's improvise. Let's be spontaneous. I like that. I like that we have the balance, and that kids can see one another as well as themselves in these books, because there's going to be kids that are not the wild color tamers like Swatch, but they will know the kid in their class or the kid in their family that is, and it'll help them understand them better.
Or sometimes, I mean, even when you say, you know, people following those coding careers or something like in a more, yeah, concrete system, that is wild too. Like, I feel like, oh, wildness, yeah, I'm just kind of referring to that deep passion in a child that you can, that can follow you your lifelong, the whole way. And you can be wild at anything.
No doubt.
That you love. If you love it, you're being wild with it, you know?
Right?
Yeah, so.
I love, one of my favorite things about teaching, that the teaching has given back to me over these years, is that when you get to that level of being comfortable in education, that you trust the kids to show you things, that's where your career really takes off. When you see, I mean, for years now, I've seen all that kids can show me, and that's wild, to let them just be brilliant and have huge ideas and just, I don't know, create and think and love and be passionate. And it's just, it's awesome. So to go back to Swatch, to have a book that they can hold in their hands that continues to affirm those feelings and who they are and the beauty that's around them, and also just to be a delight to the eyes to look at that book. And I am telling you, I have seen some eyes go very, very wide over your art, Jules, in the best way. I should actually do that when I am back at school this week. I should try to take pictures of kids reading your book. Maybe I should try to do that for all of my author pals. Let me take a picture of what it looks like when a kid reads your book, because it is awesome the way that different kids read different books,
yeah,
different ways. It's really,
yeah,
cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. Faces reflecting it. That's really neat.
Yeah. Yes, that's the way to say it. The way that their faces reflecting your art and their story. That's it.
They're lucky to have you. They are.
They're lucky to have your stories. Let's not forget that we're all in this together for these kids.
Oh yeah.
Julia, this is a great place, I think, for us to sort of put a bow on our conversation. But I'm glad that we've connected, and I'm glad that I know that this will be a connection that's going to last for a while because you and me seem like we're made to talk wildness together. I like it.
I love that. Yeah, let's stay wild together,
let's do
Matthew.
It. All right, so to bring it back, I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning, so I want to give you the final say on this recording. What message, Julia, do you want me to bring them from you?
I'd say if you can think about the thing that you love to do the very most right now that makes you so, so happy, you can do that forever. You can keep doing that. Just enjoy having fun with what you love to do. You can just do that forever and be a grown-up doing that too.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, John Patrick Green visits to talk about Hippopotamister, his debut graphic novel as both author and cartoonist. And after that, Suzanne Kaufman joins me to share Samanthasaurus Rex, a new picture book she's illustrated. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.